Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders. They may be entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, web developers like me. They may be in the virtual assistants industry. A lot of them are very well-known authors and speakers, and you've heard their names, you've read their books, but they all have one thing in common, and that's that they have wonderful stories to share, and they are here to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they're willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. Our topic today, very near and dear to my heart, growing your business with targeted podcast interviews with my friend Tom Schwab. Tom's been here before, so make sure you go, try to find his other interviews, and I will post them on social media and in the show notes. But he is going to talk to us about just all kinds of things. He knows how to build a business, an online business. And marketing at its heart is really starting a conversation with someone who could be an ideal customer. And Tom helps small business owners, entrepreneurs, and solopreneurs, as I mentioned earlier, get featured on leading podcasts that their prospects are really already listening to. Then he shows them how to turn listeners into customers. He is also the author of Podcast Guest Profits, which I have read, by the way. The full title of the book, Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy. And it's on Amazon. You can find it. And Tom, remind me to leave your review. Don't let me forget to do that. And he is the founder of Interview Valet, the concierge level booking service, who, by the way, sends me a lot of my guests. And thank you for that, Tom. So, Tom, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, or I should say welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio. And I'm so glad to have you here.
Denise, I am thrilled to be here and honored to be here the second time. I always say it's weird talking to you one-on-one here as a guest because I listen to the podcast so often, but I got to admit, I listen to it at 1.5 times speed as I run it at 1/2x speed. So with that, every time we talk live, it's like, wow, her voice sounds different.
She's slower. She did. I have never I don't listen to myself at all. I think we've had this discussion. I almost never go back and listen to an interview because to me, I sound like I'm about to burst into a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday, Mr. President. I sound ridiculous. So I don't even want to know what I sound like at, 1.5 times. I may have to go try it. I'll probably throw up, but I may go try it.
Well, this is such a great medium that people can listen to it when they want, where they want, at whatever speed they want. It's the only medium that we can get to do that.
That's true. I hadn't even thought about that because like you, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm pretty well married to my monitors. I have 3 of them on my desk and I love what I do. So I'm in front of these monitors all the time and I have this wonderful ability, thank God, that I can listen with one ear and work with the other, if that makes any sense. I can compartmentalize and I can, you get that, huh? I listen and I absorb, but my brain is still processing HTML and short codes and all the techie stuff that I still need to do. So I totally get it.
It's entertaining and educational. So for me, I'm a multitasker. So if I'm out working in the yard, I'm listening to a podcast. If I'm driving in the car, I'm listening to a podcast because the days of consuming what other people want you to are over. Now we've got the power to listen what we want, when we want. It's a great time to be alive and a great time to, you know, to use this power to find your ideal customers. I cringe every time somebody says, oh, you need to break through the noise. And it's like, now, if you're trying to break through the noise, it's probably just adding to the noise. How about trying to get in on the conversation that's already going on?
And that's such a good point. Like, I don't listen to the radio when I'm in my car for two reasons. Number one, I can't stand the incessant chatter that goes on between these DJs or teams. I mean, often they sound so stupid to me, I just want to reach through the radio and smack them. But that's a personality quirk, and I admit to it. But when I'm driving, I tend to either want silence so I can think, or I want to listen to a podcast that I really want to hear. So that's a good point about listening to, you know, what you're ready to hear.
And even when you start looking at commercials, when you start figuring out how much there is actually commercials, it's like, wow, I don't have time for that. There's too many interesting things in this world to hear and ideas to be introduced to. You know, here you are in Louisiana, I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I just think it's such an amazing time that no matter where you are, you know, if you've got an internet connection, you can be connected to the world. You know, today, if you're isolated or ignorant, it's pretty much by choice.
No kidding. And honestly, how many times do you need to be told to buy toilet paper? Seriously? Who forgets to buy toilet paper? I really want to know. That's a valid question. I mean, it's constantly, I don't care. Just stop talking about it. It's a pet peeve. So listen, before we get going too much, tell people a bit more about yourself, because when I first met you, you weren't doing Interview Valley. You were getting ready to take what I call the big leap, and you were doing something entirely different. And I've said this to you and several other people. When you decide to make a move, you make a move, because all of a sudden you went from being, you know, who you were in the workplace to, oh my God, how did he do that in 2 weeks? It was insane.
Well, I am blessed by focus, and I was running, when we first met, I was running an e-commerce business, and
you
we
were.
Had used yep. inbound marketing to grow our business. And inbound marketing is basically the idea of using content to grow your business, you know, to attract customers, to engage them, and then delight them. And originally, content always meant blogs. And so I started a e-commerce company here. It was actually a brick and mortar in southwestern Michigan in about 2006 and 2008. We looked and said, how can we expand this nationally? And we used blogs to do that. And over the years, one of the things that we looked at was the blogs weren't working nearly as well. You know, they're saturated. Not as many people are using them. We were selling the company at that point. And one of the things I started to test was, could you use podcast interviews almost the way we used to use blogs? So from the example, you know, to get your message out there, to get the know, like, and trust. And one of the ways that we used to use blogs was, instead of putting the blog on your own site, could you put that on another site, like guest blog? So get it on Huffington Post, Wall Street Journal, something like that, in order to get that know, like, and trust, get the authority, and get those links back. And so we started to try that on great established podcasts, and we're just amazed how well it worked. So as we sold the last company, started to focus more on this. We had more and more people that we were helping. We were teaching them how to do it, and they said, you know, I understand how it works, but I want to be the guest. I want you to take care of all the rest. And I said, I don't want to build an entire service organization. They kept saying, oh, give it a beta test. So we started to beta test that in the end of 2015, brought it out of beta in 2016, and that became Interview Valet. And today we're the leading company in podcast interview marketing. We work with authors, speakers, coaches, and the leading podcast. So it's just a great way to, like I said, not try to break through the noise, but get in on the conversation that your customers are already listening to.
Exactly. And you came on my podcast originally, I think, about that time. And then all of a sudden, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think when you were on my show, you were really talking about that too much. And then all of a sudden I started getting some emails from you. It's like, hey, Denise, this is what we're up to. Would you be interested if we were to send you some of our guests? I said, well, heck yeah. And then after that, I was like, okay, he built an entire business in 2 minutes. I was just blown away. It looked like that. I mean, it's a slight exaggeration, but it was like, holy cow.
Well, I think it always looks faster from the outside than it does on the inside. You know, everybody that looks like a overnight success, you didn't see him working like a dog for all the time before. But the feedback that we have gotten has just been phenomenal. We've been so blessed by the podcasters and how they've loved getting certified guests. You know, people that show up on time, that are vetted, that have great sounding equipment, and then also from the guests. You know, I have the hardest time trying to explain to my mom what I do. I even wrote the book and gave it to her. She read it cover to cover, and she said, honey, I'm so proud of you, but I don't really get it. So the way I explained it was we introduce people that should know each other. So we introduce, you know, amazing guests to hosts that would really like to interview them. We help introduce our guests to the people that could be their ideal customers. And so she understood that a little bit more. And I think that's really what the heart comes down to. A lot of times people talk about what's the newest trick, what's the newest tool. And I think sometimes we forget about what's the strategy. And the strategy to grow your business has always been the same, to make people aware that you could help. You know, I love Rand Fishkin, who runs a company called Moz. He put out a quote years ago, and he said, the best way to sell something today is not to sell anything, but to make people aware of what you do and who you can help. And that way they can find you. And so it's a different way of looking at that. And I really look at, you know, podcast interviews as a great way to do that. You know, I'd say 99% of the companies out there, their biggest problem is that they're obscure. Right, they've got a product or a service that is perfect, that could help people, not maybe everybody, but there are people that they could really help if they only knew about them. So they don't need to optimize this or change this or do something else. They just want to they need to make sure that the people they could help actually know they exist. And I think podcast interviews is a fun, easy, and scalable way to do just that.
It is. I've been doing this since 2009. And I love it. I mean, I rarely miss a Friday. I only broadcast on Fridays. And if I do miss it, it's because we had a technical glitch like you and I had earlier today. Or, you know, for some reason, a guest doesn't show up, which is very rare. But for the most part, I've been broadcasting 4 or 5 times a month since 2009. And one thing that I have to say is once you kind of start becoming a name out there in the podcast world, you get bombarded. You get bombarded. I am fielding requests daily, Saturday, Sunday, holidays, it doesn't matter. They're coming in. And I'm actually to the point where I'm going to have to find a way to really deal with them because some are getting lost because I'm just getting so many. One thing I will say about working with a company like yours, and I don't think you actually mentioned this specifically, but you are very careful about matching the guest to the host, both in terms of personality, in terms of our audiences. And it's rare, very rare that I have to say, oh, you know, I don't think that's a good fit. I think Rose is my, I think it's Rose who is my person over there.
Yep.
But a lot of times, you know, with one or two other companies, I'm like, do you even know me? I mean, have you ever listened to my podcast? You know, so go back to the drawing board. No, that's not going to be a good fit. And honestly, if you're doing your job right at Interview Valet, I shouldn't even have to say, oh, come on now. What are you guys thinking? So, right?
Exactly. And with that, is your model, there's some business models out there that we're just going to match everybody, right? So we've got a big pool of guests that are paying us, a big pool of hosts, and we're just going to match everybody. Not focusing on the quality. And it's just, it wastes everybody's time. You know, bigger is not better. If I introduce you to 100 guests, is not better than introducing you to 2 ideal guests. So we always focus on that quality, and the relationship that we've got with the podcast hosts really has come over time. So we've got 10 people, all, we're a diverse team, all based in the United States. But, you know, every podcast host has a dedicated person on our team. Every podcast guest has a dedicated person. So they get to know them, and you know what they're looking for. You have that ongoing conversations. So there are some podcasters that pretty much say, if you find somebody that's good for my show, just make the introduction. And, you know, on a whole, I think we did a study last year in the state of podcast interview marketing, and it was interesting. The question was, is how often do you say yes to a cold pitch? And it was funny. If the podcast got less than 500 downloads, you had a 2 out of 3 chance of getting a yes. Once it got up to like 5,000, 10,000 downloads, a cold pitch, you had like, you know, very, very little. It was like under 5%. And then by the time I think it was over 50,000 downloads, you had like a 0.1% chance of getting a yes. So really, they're busy. They want to go through people they trust. And Denise, as you were saying that you get pitched all the time, I have to laugh. There are lists out there, and I probably get pitched 5 to 10 times a week for people to be on my podcast. And I don't have a podcast. And they all start the same. You know, we love your podcast. We would love to be a guest on it. And I'm like, hey, you know, if you're going to lie to me, tell me I'm pretty. Tell me I look young or something. Don't tell me I got a good podcast.
You know, it's happening with me more and more because I do interview a lot of authors, a lot of speakers. Not entirely sure. I am sure how that happened. And it started with Meredith Elliott Powell. Her publishing company sent me a book just out of the blue, and I just went, huh. So I read it and I went, oh yeah, I'll interview her. The book is fabulous. And it really, it's part of the title is, you know, doing business in the know, like, and trust economy. And I said, you know, Meredith, I'm referencing that. She said, go for it, because it is true. We are dealing with a know, like, and trust economy. But after that, I mean, I get a ton of email requests. I probably get half again as many as books that just show up in the mail. I mean, I can go to the mailbox, the post office, any time of the month, you know, once, twice, three times, and I'm going to pick books. And they're just coming completely unannounced. They're coming from publicists. They're coming from publishing companies. So what's happening with me is that a lot of people will go to yourpartnerinsuccessradio.com and stupid me put up a form. Do you want to be a guest? That opened the door. I may have to take that form down, seriously, because it is just overwhelming me. But what I'm finding is that, yes, some of them are cold pitches, and you're right, they're probably not going to be a guest. But, you know, I do go do a little bit of studying and, you know, find out that this is why they're not going to be a good guest. But I'm finding that a lot of, you know, people, like PR people and, you know, they're coming and saying, I want to pitch my client to you, which is interesting. So are y'all seeing that?
We partner with some PR agencies, and they realize the power of podcasts. And for, like, example, we do some book tours for Simon & Schuster. Simon & Schuster can get their authors on Good Morning America the morning their book comes out. And I asked them, how can you do that? And then they pointed out, well, our parent company is owns what's that, ABC. And I'm like, oh, okay. But a lot of them are just saying, oh, you know, we understand TV and radio, maybe print, but they don't have the expertise and the relationships in the podcasting. So they work with us and partner
different
with us.
It's different how you connect with us, how we work with you. It's very different.
And anybody that's listening here that's an author, I'll give you a hint. This is how to make it work. First of all, or anybody that's trying to get on a podcast, don't make a cold pitch, right? Nobody likes a cold introduction. You know, nobody likes a cold call. So here's how you can do it. Listen to the podcast a few times. Leave a comment. Leave a rating and review. I guarantee you, you leave a rating and review for any podcaster, they will recognize it. You know, share some of their stuff on social media. Then after you've invested in it, right, then you've earned the right to reach out and say, you know, dear podcast host, you know, I've got, I listened to the podcast. I really liked this one. And I think that I could offer you value and your audience, because that's really your goal on a podcast. And some people come in here and they've even gotten bad advice. And they'll come on and say, well, I'm here to sell my product. And, you know, Denise,
you
said something in the introduction.
I will cut you off at the pass.
Stories. You're here to tell stories. You're here to offer value. So even when you reach out to the podcast host, remember, your job is to make them look like a genius for introducing you to their friends. So don't try selling them. Tell stories. Give value. And if you do that, podcasting can be a great way to grow your business. It's a great medium because it's so interconnected. If you're a good guest and offer value and are easy to work with, you'll get invited on other podcasts. The flip side too, though, is if you take some of this bad advice from people, you can get blackballed in the community very, very quickly.
And we tend to know one another, by the way. We send each other guests. We will make introductions ourselves. I mean, you know, I know a lot of podcast hosts, and I'll say, man, have you talked with Tom Schwab, or have you talked with, you know, Larry Winkett, or how about if I introduce you to Steve Rohr? He's a publicist for the Academy Awards. I will happily make those introductions because the episodes were so good, and they, you know, just gave so much value to the audience. But if you show up on my show and you're kind of a doink, I had one gal back in the early days, and she did exactly what you just described. She came on, and it was all about her and how to reach her and how to, you know, connect with her and be coached by her. And I finally just said, okay, we're done. I ended the episode. I deleted it, and I called her back, and I said, I don't know what you're thinking, but that was absolutely unconscionable. We haven't spoken since. I can't imagine why.
Well, you are more forward than a lot of podcast hosts.
I'm kind of cranky.
A lot of
it's like you're not going to do that on my show.
There are technical difficulties at times, and recordings get lost. But often, if you disrespect the audience, the host, and aren't just a good guest, your recording will get lost and never see the light of day. And I almost look at it as like if you go to somebody's house. Follow the house rules, right? If they take their shoes off at the front door, you do the same thing. So let them set the tone for it. And it's not all about you. It's their show. Remember, they invited you over to introduce you to their friends. So always be conscious of the gift they've given you and try to bring as much value as possible.
Exactly. And you said something very important, too, about being a bad, you know, guest, sometimes even from the very beginning. And there was one that was sent over by one of the podcasting services. I don't think it was y'all. And this guy, I mean, he was a royal pain in the fanny from the beginning, but I thought, you know, it sounds like he's got a good story. We'll see. So he didn't show up, and I had emailed him. You know, I send out the email midweek. This is your call-in number. This is what we're going to do. Then I send the 30-minute warning the day of. I'm on top of it. Didn't show. I was, you know, emailing him. I was Facebooking him. And he had the nerve to tell me that because he didn't know it was a call-in show, which I'm very clear about. It's broadcast live. And he didn't bring his headphones to work. Apparently, he had a job. So he was going to, you know, steal from his employers to be on an interview with me, which that didn't sit right with me.
Right.
And, I mean, he proceeded to send me a list of things that I did wrong in communicating with him. Now, Tom, you know me. How well do you think that went?
Well, I know you and you know me, and I can guarantee you that was not one of our clients because we always ask for feedback.
I know it was. No, it wasn't you.
Yeah, from the client and from the host, right? Because we want to make sure we're serving both people on that. And we make it very clear with our guests, this is a media appearance, right?
He didn't realize that.
I was at a speaking conference recently, and there was a keynote speaker that was up on the stage, and I was humbled. He called me out, and he said, Tom Schwab, an interview valet, has gotten me on the largest stage I've ever spoken on. And at first I was taken aback a little bit. And this guy's done, you know, keynote speeches probably for $40,000 in front of 20,000 people. But he said he's been on podcasts that have been larger than that. And so I think people have to remember that too. Would you set up a time to give a speech or a talk to, you know, 100 or 1,000 people and then not show up for it? Or just say, well, I didn't bring the equipment today. Well, let's just reschedule. It's like, no, this is a media appearance and you should take it just as importantly. And prepare just as well because people are going to hear you. And they're going to judge you by that. And the difference is that if I give a live talk and, you know, it doesn't go well, only the people in the room ever hear that. If I give a lousy interview, that lives forever. And people are always going to be going back there and saying, well, how was that interview? And so that's one of the things that this industry is great. It can help you or it can hurt you. And I was talking with a podcaster, and we had referenced a joke that I think it was Gary Vaynerchuk made. And he said, marketers mess up everything. And it's true. You know, we took
– Oh, look what they're doing with chatbots. I mean, that's a whole nother story. They're taking chatbots and just ruining it. But that's what they do.
Oh, and from – email, they turned into spam. Billboards were beautiful when they first started out. You know, people would go driving. Now they got to be noise pollution, you know, robocalls, all the rest of that. And podcasts are like, could be the last thing that can't get messed up, right? Because it seems like the people that are truly nice, the people that really want to serve, they always win. And those people that are the charlatans or want to sell or really working on the transaction, not the relationship, they just seem like never do well. So that's one of the things that I love about podcasts is that people get to really know, like, and trust you. And if they don't relate with you, that's fine. You know, not everybody has to love me and want to work with me. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. Ultimately, I want to say who I am, help as many people as I can. And if someone relates with that, hey, let's take the next step there. But I think podcasting is so transparent that people can see who you are really quickly.
This is true. And one thing about it, I mean, you can go up on a stage. I mean, you can you be paid $45,000, $50,000. I know speakers who are to get on that stage. But you're kind of limited to your geographical area, right? But let me tell you something about podcasts. Mine, at any rate, is global. I'm heard all over the world. I have guests from all over the world. That's a big reach.
I was
that's
speaking
why
at a live.
You want to come on, you know, to shows like mine, and really put your best foot forward. And I love what you said, Tom, about it's in a media appearance. I didn't even think about that, and I've been doing this forever. But to me, I'm just here in my office and I'm looking out the window at the cold weather and, you know, I'm just doing my thing. It doesn't occur to me really that I'm now a media person. Thanks for scaring the crap out of me, by the way. So now I have to stop and think about what I'm saying. But you know what I mean? I mean, we are heard in cars and, you know, gyms, we're heard everywhere. So our guests are very, very, very important to us and they have to resonate with our audience.
Very much so. And the efficiency of it is so amazing, too. I was honored to speak at a HubSpot user group in Lansing a while back. And I loved being there. We were talking and, you know, they had drinks and hors d'oeuvres. And I was about halfway through and I had to stop and just sort of laugh and apologize to them. I said, I've got to be honest. This is the smallest group that I have talked to. And I can't think of the last time. You know, it was 75 people, and I adored every one of them. I was thrilled to be there, but I had explained to them, I drove an hour to get here. I'll be here for, you know, an hour and a half, and then I'll drive an hour back. So, you know, it's all together, what, maybe 4 hours to speak to 75 people, and I love doing it. But on a podcast, you think 30 or 45 minutes, you're speaking to thousands of people. We've got a client that's a Fox News contributor. And he points out that, you know, it's a drive, an hour drive when they send the car to pick him up. Then he spends an hour in the green room. Maybe he gets 3 minutes on television. And of
sometimes
that,
sometimes you're bumped.
The host,
yep.
You could be bumped. Or if the host takes a minute of that, you may get 2 minutes. So you've invested 4 hours of time to get 2 minutes of airtime. And could you really make a point on that? So that's one of the reasons he loves going on podcasts. He says that he can go deeper, really dive into things. And so if you look at it as a media buy, too, it's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, if I called the local Kalamazoo television station here and said, how much would it cost me to get, you know, 45 minutes of airtime focused just on me? I don't think they'd even call me back. Or if they did, they would say, you know, we would love to have you on the 5 a.m. news if you buy this much advertising. And if you buy this much advertising, we'll have you on the 5 p.m. news. So right. When you look at podcasts from there, it's a different business model. It's not pay to play. It's if you've got something interesting to share, then they want you.
Yeah, you don't have to mortgage your house to have a conversation with me.
Or you know, from the standpoint of the conversation.
I may get there, but not yet.
That's right. I'll just drive down to Louisiana and camp out there in the winter, just in the
there
warm weather.
I've got gumbo. Come on. It's good. But you're right. I mean, it's really interesting because when I started this, I started it because I won't do YouTube. I'm not going to get on camera. I have a severe camera phobia. I mean, to the point where I have dumped my former mother-in-law's iPhone in a pitcher of iced tea because she wouldn't stop taking pictures of me in my own home. That was an expensive little fit, but, you know, it was my house. I kept saying no. But, yeah, I started it because I really, and this is just a personal preference, I would rather hear somebody than watch them. I get distracted. I get bored, to be honest. I don't even like to watch them. I find it very tedious, but I can listen all day long. And I'm not alone in that. I think a lot of us are auditory learners.
Very much so. And the other thing is I think that podcasts are more intimate or more real than video, right?
Yes.
So if you're on video, you're not quite sure, is this take number one? Is this take number three? Is this my radio or my video voice? Am I reading off of cue cards? All the rest of that. On podcasts, it's like the two of us were sitting down at Denny's and having a cup of coffee. And just talking back and forth, if we were sitting together, we'd have the same discussion. And a podcast is like somebody in the next booth listening in, and they can't turn around and watch us because that'd be rude. They couldn't just jump in on the conversation because that would be rude. But they'll sit there and listen to it. And I think that's what great podcasts are.
You know, I had a podcast, Ben Gay III, who is known as the – hang on a second, I'm sorry – I've got a little bit of feedback here in my my headset. Ben Gay III is known as a living legend. I mean, he's worked with Zig Ziglar. He wrote these incredible sales books. They're practically manuals on, you know, sales, how to get the sale, how to close the sale, called The Closers. You know, he's got some tremendous stories. And one of the best compliments I ever got was from one of my business partners who worked with Tony Robbins for 12, 13 years as content creator. So she knows her stuff. And she listened to my latest interview with Ben Gay, and she said, you know, it sounded like y'all were sitting in front of a fireplace, just the best of friends, chatting. And that was the best compliment I could have gotten.
And that's what it's supposed to be, you know, it's just an authentic dialogue. And you know, I can remember the worst business advice I ever got came from my grandfather. And it was the only wrong thing that old Irishman ever told me. And he said, you know, choose carefully who you drink with because you can't choose who you work with. And for him, it was true. You know, he was a mechanic in a small town. If you came to him with a car, you were his customer. But I think for us, it's different. We've got access to all these millions and zillions of people that we should be trying to connect with our ideal customers. And so from that standpoint, you know, getting that discussion out there, getting people to know, like, and trust you, going back to what we said before, but it's not about selling. It's about introducing people to what you do and how you could help them. Telling stories. And from that standpoint, finding your ideal customer is not just another customer.
Exactly. Listen, Tom, I am getting some horrible feedback. Can you hear me okay? Because you sound like all of a sudden you're in a Twilight Zone episode.
I can hear you fine. Just a second. See if I can change microphone. I apologize.
Oh, it's. I'm actually. Okay, say something. That was just weird sounding.
Is this any better?
Yes. I mean, at least, you sound like you're at the bottom of a water barrel, but we're not getting that horrible, you know, monster movie kind of dialogue going on there. So I'll take the barrel.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Sometimes the technology is not working well for us today.
It is not, but you know what? We're here and we're having fun. And I could understand what you were saying. I think if people would bear with us long enough to get through that little segment, when you listen back to this, you're going to go, oh, I see what she was saying. but this is good. I can hear you just fine now. So one of the things that we were talking. Okay, now I'm echoing. Are you on speakerphone, Tom?
I just switched headphones here.
Okay, sounds better. All right. So one of the things that we were talking about in our virtual green room was the really bad, and I mean stellar bad, information new podcasters are getting. I kind of lurk around some of these Facebook groups, you know, new podcast groups and established podcast groups, and there's a lot of great information out there, and there's some truly awful information. I mean, they're just making it so difficult for people trying to get into it. And I don't think it's deliberate, but what I would love for you to do is give people some good advice about how to get started as either a guest. Well, let's do both, if you don't mind. We've got about 20 minutes left. If you could give our audience some good information, which you started, like how to be a good guest, but also how to get started. You know, where do you get started? What do you do? What should be looking for? You know, what information do you, you know, what kind of a checklist do you have to have for yourself? Okay, did I lose you? Are you still there? Oh, no. Okay, this whole episode has just been fraught with disaster. Yeah. We had to start half an hour late because I couldn't get in, and now it's like, you know what? I'm going to persevere. We're going to do this thing, Tom. You have to stay with me.
The gremlins are against us, but I'm here.
Okay, good.
One of the things to look at is that I don't think it's an either or. Do you say, do I have to be a guest or do I have to be a host? I think you can do both. One of the questions I ask people really early on, because they'll say, I want to start a podcast. Doing a podcast is a commitment, right? You've got to show up, like you said, you've done it every Friday here. And so for some people, I say, are you ready to commit to this for a year, right? Because most podcasts die within the first 10 episodes just because life gets in the way. So if they're not ready to commit, I'm like, you can be a guest and make spot appearances and no one will notice. But if you're a host, you better show up consistently.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's
something.
And
the thing is, if you start out as a guest, you get comfortable. You know, what is your topic? What is your speaking cadence, if you will? I mean, I've got a bit of a Southern accent when I'm tired, and I know that. So if I'm tired and you hear me on the radio and I'm ending my sentences with a rising inflection, that's a good indicator that I need to get off and take a nap. I'm exhausted. But these are things that you learn about yourself. You know, am I speaking too quickly? Am I staying on point? Am I pausing long enough for my host to kind of interrupt my, you know, my monologue here? Am I taking up too much time? And I think if you start out as a podcast guest and you go back and start listening to yourself and really finding out what the audience reaction was to you, then you can hone what your true message is, and then you can think about becoming a podcast host. What do you think?
Very much so, because I think it's harder to lead the conversation than it is to answer questions.
I find it the other way around, but then I'm a bossy person. Yeah. I find it much more difficult to be a guest because they want me to talk all the time. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. You talk.
Now, so. For me, it's easier because some people will say, well, you know, how do you prepare for a podcast interview? Now, you've got to know what you're talking about, but often, you know, they're just asking your opinion, your observations on things. And people will say, well, I'm not an expert. Well, if you look at the legal definition of an expert, is someone by their training, by their degree, by their life experience, knows more than the average person. So I am not an expert on the law or accounting. So I've got no business talking on that. And if you ask me a question on that, I would totally say I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn last night, so discount this information. But when people start asking me about my business, my opinion, my insights, that's where I think we can all add our expertise. And the other thing is that I think we all discount what we know. You know, what is ordinary to you is amazing to other people. We just sort of assume, well, everybody knows that. But the truth is that everybody doesn't know that. Your view on things, your experiences could really help someone that's a step behind you. And so with that, podcast interviews can be a great way to start to just form that together. And really just always with the focus of how can I serve?
And that does make sense. I mean, I get a lot of requests. You know, they'll want to come on, and most of them are cold call type of, you know, requests. And I'll go look them up on, you know, social media. What is their footprint? What are they doing? What do they have to offer to my audience, which is business-minded? And they're all over the place. And their heart's in the right place. There's, you know, they're good for them. They're taking that step. But I almost want to say, look, here's a list of things that you need to do before you contact the next host. And I may actually write up a guideline because I think it's important. You know, so you get your social media congruent, get your messaging congruent. You know, what does your website look like? What does your Twitter look like? I mean, do you have a picture dancing naked on a pole somewhere? No, you're not coming on my show. I actually had one girl in a bikini. I kid you not. She was in a bikini on a beach and she wanted to be on my show. You know, I can't take her seriously. She may be a very serious person. That's not the first impression.
One of the things that we looked at after our first 100 clients was, why did some of them get good results and other ones got great results? And we really broke it down into three pillars. It was message, market, and machine. And they really multiply on each other. So if one of them is zero, they're all going to be zero. The result is going to be zero. So you could look at this in your own business, you know, the message. Do I have stories to tell and not just a product to sell? Because nobody likes an infomercial. You know, the market is, do I know who I want to talk to and do I have something that can help them? You know, early on, I can remember talking with an author that wanted to do a virtual book tour. And we asked him, you know, who do you want to talk to? And he said, anybody with $20 that wants to read a book.
Yeah,
and
he
I'm
didn't
like,
niche it down.
No. Yeah, he didn't understand his market. Then the final one, which you had touched on there, is the machine. You know, if I hear somebody on a podcast, I'm going to Google them. And what does their social media show? Is it consistent? Does it support them being an expert? Their website, does it support them in being a website? Because if you get on a podcast and, you know, they say, well, how do I get in touch with you? And you say, well, just email me at, you know, tom@yahoo.com to sign up for my newsletter. It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, the point for my guess, I think, is to alleviate my audience pain points. You know, my guests are here, honestly, to give really good advice, to share those insights, and hopefully to drive traffic back to you because you're a guest, because of what you do, right? I mean, you're not just on my show because I like you and we're friends. You have a really killer service. Do I want people to go to you? You bet. I mean, there's no point in me having you as a guest if there's not some reason for my guest to listen to both of us.
Denise, I'm going to take this quote and this little clip, if you'll let me, and use it in our training with all of our clients. Because one of the things that we tell people is if you sell yourself and promote yourself, you look self-serving, right? do a good job, and the host will promote you. And that's really what it's supposed to be. And those people that come on and are self-serving, and some people will, I've seen this bouncing around on the internet as advice for guests on things to do. And it's really, you know, how to use and how to manipulate and how to, you know, drive the transactions. And it's like, that's not what business is supposed to be like. You know, it's supposed to be building a relationship. And I think whatever you're doing, stop looking at the tactics, right? Step back and look at it from your customer's standpoint, from an outsider's view standpoint. You know, all these tools that we're using are just an amplifier, right? So if you have a more powerful tool and you're a jerk, you'll just be a bigger jerk. If you're a great person that people like, this will give a chance for more people to do that, to get to know, like, and trust you. So from that standpoint, I don't think there's anything magic about this medium. I think if you understand what your strategy is, what you want to do, who you want to talk to, who you want to serve, that you can use podcasting as a guest or as a host to really connect with your ideal customers.
Absolutely. I actually need to get better about being a guest. You know, I get asked and I'm like, okay, and then I forget all about it. So I need to, I'm busy. But I actually have had this talk with myself this year. It's like, you know, you're a pretty decent guest. Get busy with it. So I reckon I'll do that. But let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of podcast booking services. One of the things that I've heard, because I, you know, people say, well, how do you find so many guests? And I'll see this in some of these groups. You know, people just starting out, I don't know where to find guests. And they're really struggling because they're not, you know, they're not an established podcast. People don't really know who they are. So they're interviewing, you know, their gardener or whoever, which is a great start. There's nothing wrong with that. But there does come a point, if you've done it correctly and you're growing and your audience share is growing, you need to have some really good guests that speak to your market, right? So I'm seeing some things and they're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford. And I'm thinking, well, then you're not serious about your business, because, you know, being in the media is part of your business model. Yes.
Very
or am I missing
so.
Something? Okay, good.
And if you're doing this as a hobby, just reach out to any podcast, have fun, have some conversations. But our most expensive thing is our time. So we want to make sure that every minute produces results. You know, there's got to have a return on our time invested. So from that standpoint, I see a lot of booking agencies or booking agents just popping up, and they might have connections with, you know, 10 or 20 friends that are podcasters and say, well, I can get you on these podcasts. Well, are those good fits for you on there? Are they giving you good
exactly.
advice? And are they better than you could do yourself? Why would you need to pay somebody to do that? And there's also a lot of websites out there now that are just sort of directories, right? Podcasters put their information in there, guests put their information, and they connect. And so that's a way to do it. But really, if you're looking at it and saying, I want to use this to move my business forward, because the podcast appearance is just fuel, right? It's just fuel. And if you don't have an engine to put that into and a system, you'll get some heat, you'll get some light. It'll help your ego that, hey, I was invited on this podcast, but you may not see business results with it. And we really focus on using a system. And that's why, you know, our clients are the ones that say, oh, I want to be the talent. I want to be the guest. You take care of all the rest. So they show up and perform, and we do all the things beforehand, like finding the right podcast, doing the pitching, doing the preparation. And then even after, doing the progression, you know, how are you going to help people, move them from being just passive listeners to active visitors to your site and engage leads?
And see, I think that is important. You just pointed out something that a lot of people don't really recognize, especially when they're starting out. They just want to get on a show, any show, just put me on a show. But they don't understand that you can't, it's not a one and done. At all. I mean, we are taking this as podcast hosts. I've got some interviews that are 2 and 3 and 4 years old. I try to keep mine evergreen. You know, I like the information to be such that it can be listened to anytime. You know, any 2015, 17, 18, and the information is still going to be very, very good information. I will take interviews that I've done in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years and just put them out again because they're so good. I mean, they really are.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, that's the great thing about this medium is that it's out there forever. And if you're new to the medium, sometimes I would honestly say there are some people out there that are there giving bad advice or working both sides of the system. One of the things to ask if you're working with anybody is, who do you work for, right? Because we made it very clear at the beginning, our clients are the guest, right? Looked at it and said, you can't get paid from both sides without having a potential conflict of interest. So there's some agencies that work specifically for the host. There's other ones that work specifically for the guest. And then there's some that you may not know it, but they're getting paid by both the guest and the host.
Yeah,
and that
I do know it, and I don't like it. Yeah,
and that, it sets up a perceived conflict of interest. You know, it's like when you buy a house, there's a selling agent, a buying agent. Doesn't mean they battle with each other, but you have to know who's representing you.
There is that. So while I've got you and we're talking, you know, we're on the kind of topic of the good, bad, and the ugly, what is some of the worst advice that you've seen in some of these groups and just kind of out there that maybe you can save somebody some pain down the road by going, let me think about that. Yeah, I read it and it sounded good at the time, but Tom is saying maybe this is not such a good idea.
I would say on the two extremes, and that's a great question, Denise, because there are some people that will say, podcast interviews are not advertising. Well, if they're not advertising, if there's no business reason for that, then that's a hobby, right? And don't think that you're going to build your business with this hobby on the side. So you need to be understanding of that. The other extreme of that is the ones that say always be closing. You know, always be talking about your product or your service or your website or all the rest of this. And both of those are useless, right? Because one, if you're just selling, nobody likes an infomercial. But the flip side, too, is if you're just out there just talking with no point, no next step, you're not helping anybody, right? They're like, well, that was interesting. How do I get more? Or what's the next step? Then you're not helping people. So, you know, this is a conversation, and our best customers, the authors, the coaches, the speakers, the emerging companies, they're the ones that get out there and tell stories, say, this is why we got into it. This is what we do. This is who we work with. These are the kind of results we get. Those are the ones that can then say, hey, if you think I could help you, let's connect. And that works really well. So I would say looking at it from the overall strategy of how am I going to use this to help grow my business?
And, you know, one of the things that I have always done in my podcast is, and I will tell my guests this straight up, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to need 5 or 6 talking points. As you know, I almost never use them. I don't parrot them back in a, well, Tom, and what do you think about this? But I do need to stay on point. I need to know where we're going within the confines of the conversation. And then at the end of every podcast, I make it a point to ask my guests, where can people find you on the web? If you have a free gift, please offer it now. Because the last thing I want them to hear is, how do I find you? You know, how do I find Tom Schwab? How do I find, and then, you know, I tell people go look at my stuff too, but how do I find Tom Schwab? It's very important. Otherwise, why in the world would you come on my show just to spend an hour chatting with me?
Well, and if you ever remember the movie Jaws, right?
I
love this analogy. Remember how they would attract the sharks and they throw that chum in the water. I hear so many people that get on podcast interviews and all they're doing is throwing chum. They're attracting people, but it's like, what's the next step? How can you help me? And I think at a certain point, it becomes frustrating to the host and the audience, and it's definitely not memorable. You know, when I listen to a podcast, I want to learn something. I want to be able to take some actionable step to know that, hey, this strategy or this idea is something I should test or not test. And I think some people just miss that whole idea of you're there to help people.
Oh, exactly. And you know what? I said earlier, you know, I might have to build kind of a little checklist, but I think you've already done it because I get so many inquiries that I don't want to just say no, go away. But, you know, I really do want to help them kind of move forward, not with me, not now, but, you know, maybe get on different podcasts that might be more suited. But I think you've already written that checklist, haven't you? Did you save me the trouble? I hope.
We have a couple of checklists, and I'm thinking the message market machine checklist, that's the next one I need to do. But we've got a checklist of what to do before a podcast interview. You know, I come from the military, and we always joked around in the military that checklists were written in blood, and it's always better if it's somebody else's blood. So learn from somebody else's mistakes. So, you know, we've got a checklist that I'll share with everybody of what we do, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the interview, during the interview, and then even after it. You know, little things like take your Dropbox and put it to pause. And people were like, why is that? It's because I was on an interview one time. Everything was going well. And then somebody on my team sent me that video that I'd been asking for, and the bandwidth just went away. So little things like that. And, you know, turning off your phone. People should remember turning off your phone. But we've got that checklist. And there's another one. It's a list of 6 tips to get on booked on your first podcast. And once again, what's ordinary to some people is amazing to others. And we touched on some of them at the beginning there of, you know, listening to the podcast, leaving a rating and review. But it's not magic what we're doing here. If you saw how the magic trick worked, you would say, oh, yeah, I can do that. And so we share that openly with all of with the entire world, because I really believe that what we're talking about here, this podcast interview marketing, in 5 years, it's going to be just as big as social media marketing or email marketing. Podcasting is growing, and it's just such a powerful way to get your story out there, to get people to know how you can help them, to get them know, like, and trust you.
Absolutely. Listen, when I started in 2009, I didn't have a plan. I did, you know, pretty much the way I did everything. I just went, oh, let me go see how that works out. Not smart. You know, not a good business decision, but I stuck with it. And I was kind of a lone voice out there in the blog talk world, seriously. I mean, I was just out there all by myself, it seemed like. But I kept finding new guests. And you know what turned it around for me? I think it was early 2010. I really was struggling with finding guests because nobody had ever really heard of me. I was just on the radio every Friday. And I had a plan, and it was pretty much the same format as it still is. But I didn't have much of a reach, I didn't think. So I'm a huge fan of Larry Wingate. You know, everybody knows who Larry Wingate is. And I mean, we have one thing in common. Well, we have a lot in common, but one of the things that Larry and I have in common is that neither one of us is blessed with filters. We tend to say whatever we're thinking. And when we're on the radio together, I have to be very careful because we might get letters. I mean, it could get bad quickly. but you know, I would always been a fan. He had this little, I think it was on, I can't remember this station, but he had this little TV show where he would go in and just blast people because of what they were doing with their credit card debt and their mortgages and their Gucci purses, but they couldn't put gas in the car. And I thought it was an amazing show. So I just, you know, I was already following him on his Larry Wingate fan page. And I thought, you know, here's my attitude about asking people a question. There's 3 things are going to happen. They're going to say yes, they're going to say no, or they're going to just ignore you, which is effectively a no. So I got in touch with him on Facebook and I said, introduced myself. And I said, listen, I'm a fan of your show. I've got several of your books. At the time, I think he only had maybe 3 or 4 New York Times bestsellers. Now I think it's 8 or 9. But I said, you know, and I had interviewed Bob Berg at that time, I believe. And I said, I would really love for you to be a guest on my show. And I explained, you know, what it was, that it was 60 minutes and that his friend Bob Berg had been a guest. And I just went, okay, that's going to wind up out there in the wilderness. 10 minutes later, he said, you know, I get open at my Facebook email and I see this. I would love to. Oh, seriously? So sometimes just ask. That's my best advice. Just ask.
We don't have because we don't ask. And
right.
I'm always amazed by the relationships and the great people I meet on podcasts. You know, I consider you a friend, even though we've never met in real life. And
right.
I know that's going to happen someday, but I can think of, we had a terrible tragedy about 18 months ago in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was a very sick man went on a shooting spree on a Saturday night. I woke up on Sunday morning and had text messages. Most of them were people that I knew from podcast interviews that reached out to me. They reached out even before family did to see if everything was okay.
You know, one thing I've noticed about people that I meet through my podcast, and many have become business partners of a sort, or we're affiliates for one another, or we refer each other every chance we get. If we use, and I'm talking to people who want to get into podcasting from either side of the aisle, if you use common sense and courtesy, you're gold. That's really what you need. Common sense and courtesy.
Because it's so uncommon that it stands out.
Exactly. Tom, where do you know we're out of time? How did that happen? Where can
that
people
so
find
fast.
It every time? I always tell people this is the quickest 60 minutes on the internet. Where can people find you? And I know you've got a gift for our audience too.
Yeah, Denise, I'm so happy to be here. I know people are doing multiple things here, so the easiest place to get in touch with me is just go to interviewvalet.com/Denise, our mutual friend. So interviewvalet.com/Denise, and I'll put that checklist that we use before all of our interviews, the 6 secrets to get on your first podcast, and the book that I wrote that's available on Amazon, Podcast Guest Profits. If you want to buy it on Amazon, go right ahead, but I'll give you a free copy right there at interviewvalet.com/Denise.
Oh, everybody, read that book. I'm telling you, read the book. It's an excellent book. And please don't tell me it took you like 8 minutes to write it, because I'll have to hang up on you.
No, it was like a painful 18 months to write it.
Okay.
I was so glad I said, because it's basically everything we've learned about how do you do podcast interview marketing.
Right.
I say, it's not magic. It's a system. It's a system you can do and that we put in the book there. And if you find out that, hey, it's a lot of work, I just want to be the talent, then we'd love to work with you as interview valet also.
Excellent. I mean, that's a fabulous gift. Well, this is normally where I say, you know, today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. I'm not going to do that. I want people to focus on what you are offering them. So give us that one more time, and then I will say thank you. It has been such a pleasure speaking with you today. And I thank you, really, for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you've shared with our audience. And share that link one more time.
Thank you, Denise. And you can go to interviewvalet.com/Denise, and everything will be there.
Excellent. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.